the concept of geek culture encompasses so much more than I expected it to. And this next interview, in fact, quite aptly demonstrates that. If I were to say the words board game to you, I'm sure many of you would naturally think Monopoly, maybe Scrabble, Cluedo, Trivial Pursuit. All classics, all enormous fun. We are not here to diss the greats, I promise you, but my next guest is here to tell you that things have actually come a heck of a long way since those classic games were born. Today, there is a growing community of board gamers. They are using games not only for fun and escapism, they're also using them as tools for good in the world, which we'll explain in just a moment. But if you don't believe me, let's hear it from the man himself, Adil Patel, better known as the Board Games Guru. He has his own YouTube channel where he shares his passion with fellow fans. If you're wanting to know about the latest games, get tips on how to play them or anything like that, he is the man you ask. And he is here as part of Comic-Con and with us in the studio. Welcome, Adil.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and where this passion was born.
Sure. I'm a Cape Townian now. I've been living here for just over 30 years, and in that time I've found a passion for board games. I've been involved in a number of different areas within board games. So I'm a content creator, as you've mentioned. I do Instagram, I do board game reviews, but I'm also involved in creating games as well. So that's where I think a lot of my passion that I've brought to Comic-Con comes, is that we're trying to make more people make games, and we're trying to also encourage people to see the number of local South Africans that are involved in game design.
And I know you're doing a whole 5-day workshop here where you are literally walking people through the entire process, which is just an amazing creative opportunity. But, I mean, did you play board games growing up? Were you
the
family who brought out the Scrabble set after dinner every night?
I think we all were, though. You know, we played a lot of the same games that people know today. So, however, you know, Monopoly was not something we played that much of in my household.
Okay.
We played a different game called Poly Economy, which was a little bit more complicated, but it was a wonderful game. And the board game industry has moved on so much since those days. Right? There are, and you wouldn't even believe this, but there's 1,500 new board games every year.
Wow.
And that is an amazing number, right? So it's not just the Pictionary Trivial Pursuit that we used to know in the 80s. There are lots of different genres. The kind of epicenter of gaming has always been Germany, oddly enough, because that's where most, you know, if you asked any given German about board games, Brettspiel, they would tell you, yeah, we know all about them, right?
Okay.
Whereas in South Africa, very few people know about these hobby board games or very complicated, more, you know, and I think in the last few years, more people would know about Catan, for example, because that's been something that's been a bit more popular. But there's still, as I say, hundreds of games that are coming out every year that people don't even know about.
So, I mean, I'm laughing because you mentioned Catan. I've literally just bought a Catan set for my daughter who's turning 20, and that's what she asked for her birthday present, because that's the thing that they've discovered that their friendship circle likes doing in winter when they can't climb. I think of going away for a weekend with friends to discover for the first time an interactive, collaborative board game, which was something I'd never knew existed, known existed, until this family said, oh, this is our thing, we play Pandemic, before the pandemic was a thing. and there were all these sort of elements to it. And I think back to my varsity days, Adil, and there was the element of the traditional board gamers who would sit during breaks between lectures and play backgammon. And then there were the guys who hauled out the cards for a game of Mage, The Ascendancy, or Dungeons and Dragons. That whole universe has kind of merged into itself and become this big, big gaming sector who are here at Comic-Con.
Absolutely, and they have really melded together, because a lot of those worlds, the sort of delineations between them have become a lot fuzzier, right?
Yeah.
So the traditional RPG tropes are coming into board games and the other way around. So you're seeing a lot more meshing together, and people, you know, the old boxes don't hold anymore.
Mm. Quite literally, ours are stuck together with sticky tape, but figuratively as well. Now, you mentioned you have created games yourself. I mean, you can't give us an entire 5-day workshop condensed into 5 minutes left of interview, but can you give us some of the sort of the highlights of what goes into creating a new game?
Sure, and that's what we've been trying to do with our interaction here at Comic-Con this week, is each day we've done a separate session on stage where we've talked a little bit about a different stage of the board game design. So we started with ideation on day one, where we think about what makes a good board game idea. And you have the traditional discussion of theme as well as mechanics. Where do you start? What inspires you to come up with a specific idea? Then we talk on day two about art. So what does the game look like? What is the vision that you have? How early should you bring an artist in? Because that was, you know, and we literally brought someone in from the other side of the hall, and we asked him to talk a little bit about AI in art generation. And then today we talked about development, which is really the meat and potatoes of creating a board game, right? That's where you do the hard work of playtesting, fast prototyping, trying to, you know, eliminate some of those ideas you thought were amazing but actually were not that great.
Yeah.
Trying to build on them. And then for the next couple of days, so tomorrow we're doing marketing. So we'll talk, people love to talk about Kickstarter and how you get onto that. But the last day on Wednesday, we're going to be doing quite a big thing for me. It's we're spending an hour and we're building a whole game in 1 hour. So in that hour, it's going to be people in the audience can give us ideas. We've got people on stage that are going to be trying to put them together. And we're going to have a fast prototype in 1 hour.
Speed dating for gamers, effectively.
Exactly.
I mean, I love it. I took a look when I walked into the hall today, and on one side there are booths offering computer gaming equipment and fancy keyboards and mouses, I think that's the right term, and chairs, etc. And then you turn around and there are old-fashioned tables and chairs, and they are stacked with boxes. And I have to say, that side of the room was busier than the other side. What do you think it is that people still gravitate towards this experience of sitting down and actually playing a physical game?
I think it's partly the tangible, the tactile experience that you're going through, but it's also that you're sitting across the table from someone, you're looking them in the eyes, you know, that social need is still there. And I think that you can't really replace it fully with a digital experience. And having said that, you know, there are a lot of board games that are going online. A lot of board game experiences are now have to include some opportunity to be digital. Whether it's on your phone or whether it's on a computer to be able to connect with someone on the other side of the world, it's now becoming omni-channel in some ways, right? It's not just, okay, it's just the board game in front of me. But I do think that there is something to the old-fashioned values as well.
Just for anybody who's come into the interview late, my guest is Adil Patel, the board games guru. He's got his own YouTube channel if you want to check him out. If you're a fan of board games yourself and you're looking for new ideas to try out, advice on tips on navigating particular games with more skill than you've currently mastered, he is the guy to ask. Adil, what's your own personal favorite? If I was to say Saturday night, you've had friends around for dinner and you want to play a game after dinner, what's it going to be?
So I have a favorite game, right, which is it's called A Feast for Odin, which is loosely, when you look at board games, there are two worlds. One is what we call Euro games, and so Euro games, you tend to have people are in the game all the way to the end. There's no player elimination.
Okay.
There's mostly about optimization. It's usually not particularly theme heavy. Whereas the other side, which they're sometimes called a merry trash, is much more thematic. You get a lot of zombie games, you get a lot of elimination in that, direct competition, maybe even Take That comes into it as well. So I largely lean towards the Euro games, and that and this is a two-hour game that has Vikings as a kind of background to it. But a lot of it is about the Vikings trading, not necessarily fighting.
Right.
You're right. So, and it's you're building up a kind of engine that's going to help you to feed your clan.
You've just made me think. I mean, I've never played Catan actually, but from what I've seen of it, it looks to me like a board game version of the old computer game Civilization, which was probably the first computer game I ever played. Do you think there is this kind of crossover backwards as well as forwards? As you've mentioned, the omni-channel effect, does it work in both directions?
I think it does, and you're actually starting to see a lot more games now, board games now, that are versions of a computer game. Literally, there is, and in fact, there are multiple board games that use the IP of Civilization. So, and there are lots of other games, board games, that are actually really well done in that genre, so in that sort of civilization building genre. And I think to your point, we are seeing a lot of crossover. We're seeing a lot of these beloved video game franchises that are coming into the board game space as well.
One last question before we must say goodbye. Adil, our listener Tracy asking on the WhatsApp line about where to buy board games. It's an expensive purchase. It is. You've got to be sure you're investing in one you're going to like. There's so many out there. As you've said, 1,500 new ones appearing every year. Is there a place you'd recommend in Cape Town in particular where you can try them out or just find a really great selection and good advice?
And that's what Unplug Yourself is trying to do here at Comic-Con. Okay. So they're introducing people to games so that you can try it before you buy it. The supplier, Solopop, supplies most of the retailers in South Africa. And so if you're going to be here, I would recommend, rather than trying to find a physical store, look online first.
Okay.
There you can find availability, you can compare pricing, all of that. And a lot of stores allow you to try something off their shelves. So they have games that they've opened. You can try them out in store. So, you know, Sword and Board is a really good store. Luck Shack. There's so many to mention. And each one of them has, you know, a different sort of leaning in terms of the kinds of games that they have.
I'm going to throw this one out to our audience as well. Are you big board gamers still? And have you found a great place to get new ones? Have you found a new game you want to recommend that your family enjoys playing? Please pop us a WhatsApp to 072-567-1567. Last question to you, Adil, really, is obviously once this is all done and your work at Comic-Con is finished, you go back to real life. Is real life 100% board games, or do you have to have a day job as well?
You have to have a day job. Okay. I mean, there are very few designers in the world that can say that they do it 100%.
Yeah.
But there are some. So there's a handful of them that do that. Most people, certainly in South Africa, you're going to find it's a hobby.
Okay.
It's something that we do in our spare time, but we do have to go back to a day job.
Which means you've taken 2 days of work to come and share the passion. So thank you for squeezing us in to that time frame, and enjoy the rest of the time at Comic-Con.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks.
Great to have you with us. Adil Patel, the board games guru.